You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 382, and it is April 10th on Monday afternoon. Randall's here as well. Randall, how's it going?
Pretty good. It's finally starting to warm up a little bit here in Indiana.
Yep, we've just been hit with a ton of rain. Okay, well, Brian Kelly had a press conference over the weekend. We've got some updates as far as some players. We've got going to go through the different position groups. And so I guess we'll just start with...
We could start with my before and after picture of my Bayless workout.
Well, okay, let's start with that. The workout picks that were tweeted out, was it Friday? Towards the end of last week anyway.
Yeah.
Handful of guys, maybe five guys or so, tweeted out pictures of their before and after pictures, and it's impressive. And I wish Kevin Stefferson is the one. Actually, I guess Javon McKinley also did. The wide receivers did a good job of showing their numbers as well, but some of the pictures were, you couldn't see the numbers beside the picture, just the mostly the picture. So, well, let's just go over those. And definitely they look really impressive. However, the one thing you should know is that in their before picks, they're not really flexing, but you can still see that they are larger.
Well, one thing I could take away from that is, yeah, they're not flexing, but in the second pictures they are, because they're happy to show off their new muscles that they have.
So the biggest gainer, the biggest gainer, just physically looking at it, was definitely Tavon Coney, and it does look like he has a layer, an additional layer of armor. He looked pretty good beforehand, but afterwards he just looks like an absolute beast, a Terminator. It's insane.
Yeah, Javon McKinley was another one that kind of looked the same way. I mean, it's ridiculous. But some of them had the numbers beside their pictures. Of the before and after, I wish they all would. But the biggest difference was Kevin Stefferson supposedly added 12 pounds, and he gained 11 inches in his vertical.
Most of the guys gained about around 10 pounds, but and also lowered their body fat percentage as well.
Kevin Stefferson gained 12 pounds, lowered his body fat percentage from 7.2 to 5.7, and the 225 reps went up from 3 to 5. Then his vertical went from 30 to 41.
Okay, and from Brian Kelly's press conference, and this was the reason given that Stefferson hasn't been with the ones as much, is that he's been suffering a hamstring injury. It could be true. I don't buy it either. But that might be part of the reason. Maybe there was something nagging him, or he was recovering from something that kept him from having as high of a vertical before as in the after, because I don't believe you can actually gain 11 inches of vertical for a guy that is fit and in good shape, a football player. I think there's more to it, and it doesn't really matter.
Well, the other thing is that Javon McKinley, you know, had a broken leg, and so these would have been from 2 months ago.
Yeah, the day January 17th to March 17th.
January. So how did he get all these stats? I don't think what was his vertical listed at on his picture, but he had a broken leg, and he supposedly has a slight limp, which his mom claims that's how he walks all the time. But
he had a vertical of 31 inches, 31.1, and now it's at 36.
So there, you know, he jumped 5 inches, but in January he had a broken leg. So I don't know if some of these stats were from, you know, like last year. I don't know if they did these, you know, the day that they took the before picture. I don't know, but definitely gets everybody excited when they see stuff like this. They've all put on weight, but their body fat percentage has gone down. I mean, you see it over and over. The ones you don't see the numbers, maybe that didn't happen. Maybe there's something they're trying to hide. But yeah, they're excited, and it's getting fans excited as well.
Brian Kelly mentioned on the press conference from Friday that he would start working on splitting up the teams. They had a scrimmage on Sunday, and then is really when he'd start looking at the depth chart. He was asked the question, how much does he look at the incoming or think about the incoming freshman in relation to the depth chart, kind of, or moving guys around. And he definitely is starting to look at it now. And from what I heard from the scrimmage on Sunday, Brian Kelly said they'd have about 60 plays they were going to run. And it sounds like it was pretty competitive, and yeah, which is positive news for Notre Dame guys. It was competitive.
Yeah, Friday when they did have the scrimmage, they didn't wear pads, and so when the media was there, you know, you didn't really know what to take away from it because they weren't taking pads. I mean, they weren't wearing pads and going at it like, you know, they supposedly are. You know, they were. You know, they weren't tackling other players, and so it was a little hard to take away from that. But, yeah, Brian Kelly said that's coming, and it sounds like they did that on Sunday.
Let's talk about the injuries, and then we'll move through the different position groups. So, new injury, it's the significant one anyway, Nico Fertitta, broken hand. I don't know how severely or what his expected return time is. Do you know anything more on that, Randall?
No, I don't.
And so I mentioned that Severson has been battling with this hamstring. EQ was also held out a little bit because of a hamstring. Other than that, there's not a whole lot of new significant updates from the injuries that I'm aware of.
As far as Fertitta, he has an entire first half of the Temple game to heal up his hand since he won't be able to play because of that
hopefully,
hit last
hopefully
year.
Hopefully he's back before then.
Well, he can play with a broken hand. We've seen it before they wear those clubs. That's not going to stop somebody from getting on the field.
All right. Everything else that I've got is more relating to specific groups or position groups.
I guess kind of one thing we could throw in, Spencer Perry is no longer with the football team. He's planning to transfer. We did have questions before, you know, is he going to be playing at the rover position? We didn't really see much of him there. I mean, I guess he did get some reps, but it wasn't like he got a significant amount of playing time.
And on that, too, Brian Kelly said that they'd let him transfer wherever he wants to. And Spencer Perry insinuated to Brian Kelly that he didn't feel like he would be able to get in the rotation pretty much because of athleticism.
Well, that's what Spencer Perry said, like himself said.
Yeah.
Yeah, and could that be, Brian Kelly kind of mentioned, if you read between the lines, you know, maybe he thought he should be playing a different position, you know, or, you know, something like that.
I think,
you know, he just wasn't getting reps. It probably came down to not getting reps at that position. And so maybe he was, who knows, was he asking to switch or I don't know what the deal was. But, you know, he had been an early enrollee last year and then he redshirted. And so it's, if I were him, you know, you would have wanted to wait to decide this until after spring practice. But Brian Kelly mentioned, you know, he obviously Perry talked with his family. And that's what he wanted to do. And Brian Kelly didn't want to have him out there. A guy that's not invested. He mentioned how he could hurt himself or other players because you're not bought into the.
True. Okay. Going through the different position groups, let's start on the defensive side of the ball. Defensive line. Brian Kelly praised Cage, said that this is the best spring that he's had, and he's coming off that injury and continuing to get healthy. And he kind of overall had some optimism about the defensive line and faith that they would find players, which I do think that's true. I think that we might not know exactly who are going to be, you know, six of the guys or even, maybe three or two of the guys are going to surprise and get a lot of playing time. But I just think that usually it ends up that someone steps forward, and sometimes you're
I'm still
just
not as confident as you are, Ruben. But he did, you know, he sounded impressed with the defense line. But what kind of makes me rethink is that Daniel Cage having his best spring,
and he's not healthy.
He's not completely healthy, and he's out of shape, is from what the reports are. So that kind of makes me wonder
he could be taking that into consideration.
But that doesn't say much for his other spring practices.
But keep in mind, Elko is used to dealing with teams that don't have a ton of talent. There's bodies there. They're just not proven talent.
But if it's all about scheme, then why didn't Wake Forest win a national championship?
It's not all about scheme.
I know, but I'm saying you still need the guys to do it.
But think about how many times we were complaining about missed tackles last year, and I'm very confident that's going to get cleaned up. And if that wouldn't have been the case last year, the defense would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
But one more thing on the defensive line. Jay Hayes was talking about Elko, and he just said that Elko has really poured himself into the defensive line and that he brings the juice and gets them fired up. So knowing that Elko is really invested in or pouring himself into the defensive line, again, is just gives me more confidence that he might know maybe there are some shortcomings as far as talent, yes, but I think that he's used to dealing with under-talented defenses.
And Dalen Hayes was the first guy Brian Kelly mentioned on the defensive line, and he said he just, you know, the more football he plays, the better he gets. That's what he needs, since he didn't play a lot of football in his high school career. It's just they just need to get him reps, and, you know, he just continues learning. He just keeps getting better and better. And then the younger guy, you know, Aquara, he says giving them more of the edge presence. Looks like he's kind of finding his role in the defensive line. He said Trombetti continues to get better, which I guess that's good for a fourth-year player. But then he also met Khalid Kareem and Jones.
You mean Micah Dutredway?
No. Deron Jones' younger brother. Jameer Jones. Jameer Jones, you know, we haven't heard that much about, but he is a little more active than he had been, and, you know, maybe he will get some.
There's a lot of guys there. I'm not super, super worried about the defensive line. I do think it's probably the weakest position of the defense, but yeah. I don't think it's going to be such a issue that Notre Dame's going to lose four games because of it. All right, linebackers. The biggest thing about that was just Tavon Coney.
The size of the linebackers. Niles Morgan. Actually, I almost think Niles Morgan had his before and after on his Snapchat. He's pretty active on his Snapchat. He's actually slimmed down a little bit. And so maybe he's gone the other way. Maybe that's why he doesn't want to show his picture. He hasn't necessarily gained weight, but he's looking better and quicker. And he's obviously a leader on the team. I mean, watched one interview where he talks about that. I mean, that's his role now, and he's taking it in stride. I mean, he's doing a good job at it.
All right, cornerbacks and safeties. Safeties, Brian Kelly mentioned that Coleman is a guy that's really impressed, which we've talked about that, and he wouldn't be getting, I don't think he'd be getting the reps and the attention he is if he wouldn't have been really impressive. One interesting comment from Brian Kelly is that he said there's going to be rotation back there. It's not going to be one guy playing in all kinds of different situations, which we've heard of that before. And I guess if the guys are able to play what they're asked to do, and if what they're asked to do is something that will be solid or be good defense, then that's fine. But there's going to be rotation back there.
Well, and the question was, you know, will Stead still and Elliott, are they playing the same? Are they fighting for one spot, or, you know, can they get in the field at the same time? But Brian Kelly said they need to know all the both positions, and it's up to them individually about getting out there on the field. I mean, they could be out there at the same time. The one thing I still think about is that Coleman is obviously doing very good, and he was a terrible tackler last year. So how confident are you that the tackling has improved? You mentioned that you think there's a huge change in how they will tackle, being able to tackle better this year. How confident are you?
Very confident, just because it's something that they're emphasizing. And they're also continue to emphasize taking the ball away. I watched a video clip of practice where they were just practicing after the receiver caught the ball, practicing knocking it out of their hands. So the fundamentals has been preached on really hard by Brian Kelly and even Elko too, and so I'm confident just in that aspect that I do think Elko is a good coach, and fundamentals was one of the biggest things that was missing last year.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be a lot better. Just the fact that Coleman is, you know, the guy that seems to have a good grasp of the safety position and they like what they see, just kind of telling me that obviously he had, I mean, he improved his tackling. That was his issue last year. So obviously he had to get better. There's no way he would be that lead guy. Brian Kelly, again, messed up on one of the names. He talked about freshman, which would be Isaiah Robertson. He called him Richardson. Or I'm guessing that's who he was talking about. But I, it's just funny to me.
I don't remember previous years that Brian Kelly changed people's names as much as he has this spring.
Well, two-man Richardson and then Eichenberger. So he continues to do that. So I don't know what, yeah. I just thought it was kind of funny.
I don't have anything else from the safeties or the cornerbacks. Any comment from you?
He did mention, as far as the cornerbacks, you know, Troy Pride might be a little bit behind the others just because he ran track, so he hasn't bulked up as much as the other guys have, so he's a little behind on that. And then Dante Vaughn has been dealing with a back spasm, so he hasn't necessarily been finishing all the practices because of that. And so those are two guys that are kind of behind the other ones.
Let's move over then to the offensive side of the ball. Quarterback, I don't have anything really to discuss on that. Wimbush is the man, and I can't wait to see him here in a few weeks at the Blue and Gold game.
Yeah, I'll just throw this in here now since we don't have a lot of other stuff with the quarterbacks, but I didn't even want to say much about the whole Kaiser
Brian Kelly's comments.
Drama last week.
Dumb.
It's stupid, and the thing is, it doesn't matter if the media guys do try to take that and run. It's not going to change his draft stock, anything. You really think that the NFL scouts are going to listen to some
former head coach?
Some headline. What? No, they'll listen to the head coach, but I mean, go by a headline on a media column.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter to them. It's just fans talking and taking things out of context.
When it was that not true? When is it not true that if you stay another, you'll get better if you stay, if you work at what you were working at for another year?
Yeah. So that's all I'll say with that. I didn't want to say more than that. But, quarterbacks, I mean, Ian Book is looking pretty good as well. I mean, he's obviously the second string, but he's doing good.
Is that Ian Booker?
maybe. It'll be interesting. You know, he is often compared to Tommy Rees, so it would be kind of interesting to see.
Tommy's going to favor him a little bit?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know.
I wish we could have seen those two beside each other, you know, like.
Oh, how they actually compare.
If they would have been in a quarterback competition.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy Rees and Ian.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting. Offensive line, I don't have anything new really to say. I guess I'll mention this thing, the interview with Mike McGlinchey. No, sorry, it was Quentin Nelson talking about the redshirt freshman over on the right side of the ball, Liam Eichenberg and Tommy Kramer, and just mentioned how, you know, they look stronger, footwork and their overall fundamentals are improving. Other than that, I don't really have anything to say.
Yeah, the one thing you keep hearing is that Mike McGlinchey is just one huge guy. He was before, and he looks even bigger than he did last year. Obviously, he's going through the Bayless program as well. So hearing good things about Mike McGlinchey, and I'm sure at this point I know he's glad he stayed. But I mean, it's working out for him as far as even the conditioning part, because that's one thing we see with these offensive linemen. They go to the NFL, and they just look a lot bigger. And Mike McGlinchey is looking a lot bigger, and he already looked big. So,
on the running backs, Brian Kelly said Tony Jones Jr., if they would need him to, he could be the number one guy. He said he can block, he can catch, and I don't think he will be the number one because I think Josh Adams is a better back overall.
And I'm just pointing things out. I probably sound like the negative one on this podcast. I'm pointing out all the things.
That's good. Usually I'm accused of that.
You know, he could be the number one. Brian Kelly said they just, you know, it was their choice to hold him out last year. that was not just a choice. If he was that good, I mean, yeah, I do think he's very good, but I think it was more than just choice to hold him out because they were frustrated with the running backs at one point when they said, you know, that Dexter Williams was the only guy with. Well,
yeah, but it wasn't
that
just,
was more than just
it,
the running.
It wasn't
back.
Just the running. Yeah, it was. It was everyone.
That's true. That's true. But
and the one guy that was a running back. The one guy that was playing with fire and whatever Brian.
Yeah,
said.
And I watched one video of Josh Adams. Giving a talk to the team. I mean, he's talking to the team and trying to get them pumped up. And I was trying to decide if it sounded scripted or not. I mean, did you listen to it?
Yeah, well, that was the one I was talking about last week.
Okay, I hadn't watched it last week, but he's obviously a leader on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah,
and
it did sound. I mean, sure, it did sound kind of scripted, but it was still, and maybe it was the music that was helping, but it was still, I thought. Pretty inspiring.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't think someone wrote it for him.
No. If that's... No. But it probably has to take you a little bit to get used to being the leader, the vocal leader, you know, and being the one that has to get everybody motivated. But he's obviously doing that, and
he works hard, and he does have grit.
Yeah.
Josh Adams. As long as he can stay healthy.
The grit was brought up again in the Brian Kelly was saying, you know, all these fundamentals, these different things that we're working on, and you guys know, he says, told me we've been training you, and one of them said, yeah, you mean grit, and he's like, yeah, grit, see. So, but yeah, I'm feeling very good about the running backs this year.
Maybe
the question is just how they're going to be used.
Maybe what I'm most excited about from a few years ago when we were talking about running backs, and Brian Kelly would answer, you know, why this guy isn't playing more. And it would often be, well, he's not able to do everything we need him to do as far as, and usually it was with pass protection.
Yeah.
And so finally, we're hearing that all these guys can
catch the ball.
They can catch, they can protect.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't hear it specifically about Dexter Williams. If he's great at catching the ball, but yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. We have three good all-around backs that can do what they're asked to do.
Tight ends.
Well, they, I don't know, there's not a whole lot to say about tight ends, just that they keep, you know, we keep hearing that they're going to use two, maybe three guys, but
they've got four, maybe they go four wide with tight ends.
Well, they about don't need to with these huge receivers that they have that, you know, could be tight ends in some.
Yeah, the line is starting to blur between some of the receivers and some of our tight ends. Okay, wide receivers.
Yeah, that's kind of a question that keeps coming as far as how these wide receivers are going to be used because of the tempo. You know, are they, you know, designated to a certain spot on the field? You know, or how are they going to rotate?
Will they switch if... After the play, if the short side of the field is not on the other side. And it wasn't super clear to me. Brian Kelly did say that there is going to be some carryover and they will need to know some of the different positions. But he also said that there are some things specific to the W receiver, I think is what it was, the side that the boundary side.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm still not 100% sure exactly how that's going to work.
Yeah, and it looks like Sanders and Fink aren't the slot guys anymore. I mean, they're playing outside. They have bigger guys in the slot. I mean, slot guys are basically like they have tight ends in there. They even have running backs or Chase Claypool in there. So that slot position, as we often look at it, you know, as the smaller guy, you know, Sanders or Fink or Robbie Toma, you know, these smaller guys, it's not necessarily like that anymore. They've got some big guys in there and even running backs. And so that position has kind of changed a little bit. And what I meant with the quarterback, I saw it with the quarterbacks and the running backs, but they basically ran a gauntlet with the football, and the other running backs and quarterbacks were standing there trying to knock it out. And so they're working on
ball security.
Yeah. They should maybe have defensive players trying to knock it out to get practice knocking away from the running backs, because that's one thing I want to see more from Notre Dame players, which I was there working on it, but You see other schools trying to rip the ball out. How often have you seen a Notre Dame player try to rip the ball out of running back's hand or wide receiver's hand?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, obviously, they couldn't because they had to focus on just making the tackle. So, you know, they didn't even have the chance to get to the point of trying to rip it out. They just had to try to make the tackle. So, but they are working on those things, and I think it'll pay off.
Anything more on the wide receivers?
Not really. I mean, Brian Kelly just said that, you know, the positions are kind of blurred at this point as to how that's all going to work out. But obviously, it's the spring, so.
But for the spring game, at least then we'll see, you know, who is the number one at the different positions.
Do you think we'll... I'm not sure we'll see the tempo as much in this. I mean, I don't think we will because it's spring. They don't give away a lot in the spring. But I wonder how much... Hope we can see a little bit of tempo just to see that they can, you know, move the ball.
So it's not like every other year. Just a little...
All the excitement.
A little cookie to give us a little bit of hope. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if there is tempo at the blue and gold game. All right, Randall, that's anything on special teams that we should mention?
No, we haven't heard a lot of special things about special teams besides the fact that Tyler Newsome cut his hair. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good thing if you're not hearing a whole lot about special teams. But we haven't really heard anything about the kickers, you know, how that's all working out and how they – I mean, it's kind of quiet on that side.
Well, Your field goal kicker and your punter, I mean, those are set. And even this fall when the freshman kicker comes in, I mean, he won't be taking field goal reps away from
Yoon. Yeah, true.
All right, that's all I've got. If you guys want to, give us a follow on Twitter and on Instagram at Irish Sports Talk. And join the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. And, Ral, you got one more thing?
Yeah, the March Madness tournament challenge.
Yes.
I figured we could just skip it since I didn't end up winning. But
I did pretty well. Yeah, who is the winner?
I'm trying to pull up his username. What was the... here, let me turn my... First place was a entry named Probably Overthinking It. Well, he didn't overthink it because he won the challenge. D. Yoder 9889 was the winner, so congrats to him. He had picked North Carolina to win the championship. So from now on, you're obviously not overthinking it.
And we do know who that person is on Twitter, so we'll be in contact as far as getting the shirt when that is available later this spring. And, yeah, Randall, are you going to read off the top five, or at least the top three?
We'll just do the top two. Jamie G8 was number two, and we'll skip number three. Number four was Bill Calipi.
Yours truly. I was number three. I was pretty proud. I was pretty happy. Too often I don't do very well. Randall, where are you on that list?
Well, I wanted to give some other people a chance. I was actually number 12, so I'm not going to complain with that. I was right behind Justin Boudreaux, which would be Parker Boudreaux's dad. And Parker's sister was actually number 10. So,
all right. Well, yeah, thank you guys for joining the tournament. We'll do it every year. And I thought there was one other game that we usually have throughout the year, but can't think of what it is right now.
Score predictions.
Well, yeah, but I thought there was something else, a non-football-related game that we participate in, but I don't remember. But, guys, if you enjoy listening, tell a friend about it. Follow us on Twitter at Irish Sports Talk. And head on to the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. You can join the conversation over there. So, thank you for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.